Ones, I desire that we would turn together to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah for our reading this morning, Jeremiah chapter 38. I'd like to begin with verse 14.
Brate našo da se čita iz Starog Zaveta, iz knjige proroka Jeremije, iz 38. glave. Knjiga proroka Jeremije, 38. glava, od 14. stiha i nadalje.
Then Zedekiah the king sent, and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him, into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, If I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? So Zedekiah the king sware secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, As the Lord liveth that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, If thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thine house. I desire to conclude with verse number 17 at this time. May God bless the reading of his word. May we all bow before the Lord in prayer.
O God, our Father, who art in heaven, we bow before thee with thanksgiving upon our hearts that thou hast been merciful unto us and has provided for us a night of rest and a day of rest now, that we could come together into thy house of worship and to dedicate this day into worship and honor and praise of thee, to read from thy word, to meditate upon thy truths, and to have fellowship one with another of a like precious faith. As we have assembled together here, O Lord, with our friends and our children, O Lord, we give thee thanks for all things, and we pray that this day would be spent truly in the way in which it had been ordained, that we would rest from our labors and look upon thee, O Lord, and to give our hearts and to give our lives unto thee, that we would, O Lord, learn of thee and to apply the truths that we learn unto ourselves. O Lord, we see, even in this short reading that we have read here, the prophet who was sent to give a warning to the king to surrender, or else he and his people would be doomed. O Lord, so thou hast given the warning unto each of us that we would surrender our lives unto thee. For Lord, the day is coming when thou wilt return to take thine own, and all those, O Lord, who are found in thee will have been saved, O Lord, but those who have rejected thee and have not heeded the call of mercy and kindness, the call of love unto thee, O Lord, will all be cast out. O Lord, we pray that each of us would take heed to the call of Jesus Christ, as thou, Lord Jesus, has come upon this earth and has issued the call to come unto thee, to repent, to be changed in mind, to be changed in heart, and to give our hearts unto thee and our lives. We pray, Heavenly Father, that our love for thee would ever increase, and as our love would increase to thee, O Lord, so will our service. So will our service to thee and to one another. O Lord, we will understand fully who thou art then when we love thee with the love that thou hast loved us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that thou would bless this day unto us, that all who are able to enter into thy house, from the youngest to the oldest, O Lord, would, would find rest in Thee. As we look into Thy Word, O Lord, even in the children, as they will sing songs unto Thee, as they learn these hymns of praise unto Thee, O Lord, we pray, O Lord, that Thou would speak to them through the songs that they will sing, the words that they will hear, O Lord. We pray that they would touch their hearts and simply to, O Lord, implant in them the seed, a seed that will grow, a seed that will flourish, and as it would be nourished in Thy love, O Lord, that it would flourish and grow into bring forth the fruit that Thou, Lord, desirest of each of us. We thank Thee, O Lord, for each and every soul who is seeking Thee, as they are seeking Thy counsel, as they are reading Thy Word, and they are applying the things that they hear into their hearts. O Lord, we pray for each one that Thou would work mightily in their hearts, that Thou would save them, O Lord, from their sin, and bring them unto Thee and to the full repentance and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that Thou would be with each soul as they are tempted and tried, O Lord, and being lured from Satan and his devices, and as he, as the God of this world, will seek to take this warfare into their minds, and the battleground is for their mind, O Lord, that they would simply look to be renewed in mind, and that they would, O Lord, give themselves over unto Thee and realize that there's nothing but death and decay and destruction in following Satan and his ways, but in following Thee, O Lord, there's life and joy and peace and everlasting life. We pray, Heavenly Father, that Thou would visit us all in our needs. Thou knowest, O Lord, those who are sick, those, O Lord, who are suffering from the ailments of this flesh, O Lord. Nothing is easy, O Lord, to endure, to feel the pains and the discomforts and the things that we feel every day, O Lord, but may we be overcomers, that we would overcome those things as Thou, Lord Jesus, has revealed to Thy servant Paul, that Thy grace is sufficient. So, Lord, in our pains, in our struggles, O Lord, may we look to Thee that Thou would be our sufficiency, that we would find everything in Thee, that though we will struggle in the flesh, and as we live in an earth that is cursed, and we live in bodies that will die and decay, O Lord, that being renewed in mind and in heart, our souls live on forever, and that in Thy presence, O Lord, is where we seek to be. We pray, Heavenly Father, that Thou would help us all and give us this comfort, that Thy grace is sufficient for each of us. Take us through our struggles. Take us through our pains. Take us through our sorrows, O Lord, and bring us into Thy everlasting arms. We pray, Heavenly Father, that Thou would be with each of us as we struggle spiritually, as the wickedness in high places is seeking to pull us away from Thee, O Lord, that Thou, Lord Jesus, would call us unto Thee as that great shepherd that seeks his sheep who wander away. O Lord, Thy word gives us clear instructions, and so we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would avail ourselves unto Thy truths and bring us, O Lord, unto Thee. So abide Thou with us in this day, O Lord. Bless the reading of this Thy word in this morning, and bless the meditations upon it. The brother, as we would bring forth the thoughts that Thou hast placed in his heart, O Lord, that they would guide us into the truths that are found in Jesus Christ. Abide Thou with us forever. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
The brother in his prayer recognized quickly the example of a warning that the prophet had given to this king, points us to the warning that we all receive for our own lives in yielding and surrendering our all to Jesus Christ. That is a destination upon the path of life that the Lord has given us his word that we might find that destination, a place where our hearts, our will, our life, our love, and our commitment are all yielded unto the Lord. And I felt prompted to pause in our reading, because this passage does illustrate for us that truth in a way that uses very flawed people, uses circumstances, and maybe helps color the picture for our life that we might understand our need better. There was a man named Jeremiah who, as a young man, was called by the Lord to bring forth a message from God. And his message was that God would fulfill his promise that he had made to the people when they entered the promised land, that if they would be faithful to the Lord and follow his word, that they would be able to abide and enjoy the blessings of God and his presence, his protection for them and for their families. And if they would rebel, and if they would turn their hearts away from the Lord and serving him in the way that God had prescribed, that they would be scattered, that they would be sent far away from this land and scattered throughout the nations of the world. And that had happened in the northern kingdom of Israel. The kingdom of Israel was taken by the Assyrians and scattered throughout the world. And now Jeremiah is called to the kingdom of Judah, where Jerusalem is, where the temple was, where God had placed his name. And he had a warning that Babylon was coming for them. The people, by and large, refused the warning. They did not turn their hearts in a way that was would lead to any lasting change. And this brought about a sorrow in the heart of Jeremiah, because he loved the people. And he knew that the message that he was bringing to them was a message from the Lord, and they were turning their hearts away from it. And how he wished and longed that God's people would hear the word and simply obey. Well, Jeremiah's warnings came early, and there was no immediate conquering of the city or of Judah. But in time, Babylon came. And they came in waves, and they took one king, and they took the best of the people, and they took the precious treasures from the temple. And then there was quiet. And they would come again. And in that moment of quietness, that moment when the pressure is not on so strong, there is a tendency in man's heart to think everything's okay. And maybe we'll get through this by our own wit and our own strength. Maybe I can overcome. But Jeremiah's message was that God was going to fulfill his promise. And try as they might to run or to hide, they couldn't avoid it. Zedekiah is the king that was set up by the Babylonians to rule over Judah, and he was not one of those that was taken as one of the best and the brightest. He was not a man of godly character and resolve. Jeremiah was the prophet, the one that spoke the words of God and had patiently, faithfully, though troubled at times, brought the message forth. Jeremiah knew that. He saw all of the responses. He saw them turn away from the word of the Lord in anger as he faced persecution and trouble for the word that he brought. And he saw them turn away in apathy, just not caring, finding somebody else who would speak something better. And so Jeremiah responds to Zedekiah's request for an answer to a question for guidance with these words, "If I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me?" He's seen both the anger and the neglect of this king and those around him. And that's what he's expecting. And the thing that I need to be reminded of as I read the scripture, that there are two men here. They're having this conversation. It's a very quiet, secluded setting. But God is involved. He's ever present. His influence is making itself known as they are having this conversation. Just like when we sit down with the Word, or when we sit down with each other and we share the scriptures, God is working, He is guiding thoughts and hearts, and He is wanting us to hear His Word. And I wonder at the mercy of God. How many times the Lord sent the prophet to warn them, to give them guidance. How many times they rejected. How easy it is for us to imagine how unworthy they were of another chance, of a final call to them. And I'm reminded how unworthy I am, how unworthy we all are of God's mercy, His patience with us, as we've also, we read about it in the experience of these two men, but do we know it? And can we testify of the mercy of God and how He's been patient with us? And does it remind us and stir within us? Yes, that's true. God has been merciful. And I don't deserve His kindness. And I'm not more worthy than anybody else in the room, or anybody else outside the room for that matter. And so thank God for His love. Thank God for His mercy that He gives an opportunity to respond. And that merciful call goes out week after week. And we thank God for that. And yet we see, as merciful calls go out and as opportunities are presented, the grace of God is enjoyed by those who respond and submit to the Lord. Jeremiah did not turn his face from the king and say, "You didn't listen to me before. Forget it. You're not worth it anymore." He gave the word. Zedekiah promised, whatever that is worth, promise of a king that went back on his word many times. But Jeremiah was not serving the king alone. He was serving God. And he was doing what God had directed him to do. And so he gave a word. Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live and thine house." Jeremiah was asking a king to be a traitor to his own people, in a way. A traitor to his own army and to his own cause that he was promoting. Jesus asks us to turn our back on the world and to turn our back from ourselves. We think of Babylon. What wicked people. They're awful. Don't they typify the sin and everything that's wrong in this world? Why should we surrender to them? Well, at this time, Babylon is acting as a servant in God's hands. And previously in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah warns the people, if Babylon was not fighting, I would fight against them, God said. They weren't fighting against men. And the problem of sin was not with the Babylonians. That's not Zedekiah's main problem. His main problem was in his own heart. And so the way we understand this is not that Jeremiah is saying, go and yield yourself to this ungodly people, but yield yourself and acknowledge the righteous judgment of God. And if you've gone astray, Zedekiah, then it's time for you to give up, surrender, and acknowledge that God is right, that I am wrong, and I've been wrong, and His judgment is true. And I received this word that if I would yield to that judgment that is coming, that there may be some mercy awaiting for me. And that is all that they had in the Old Testament. To acknowledge the truth of God and His law, and that it is right, and that they had fallen short of that law, to repent and to believe and hope that God would provide deliverance. We who are now living after Jesus Christ, His ministry, His death on the cross, and His resurrection, we have more fullness of the revelation of the truth of God and the deliverance that He has provided. We have a word that teaches us of the mercy of God and the kindness of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for us. And we have a fulfillment of those promises in Him. All the more reason to listen, to heed, and to obey. It's not an uncertain place that we put our faith, but we put our faith in the living God and His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is where we turn as a hope and a refuge from the sin that will bring catastrophe to our lives and to our eternity. And Zedekiah has one more chance. We know that this is Zedekiah's last chance because of what happens at the end of the chapter. We don't know what our last and final call will be. This is the setting for these people. Zedekiah was given an opportunity to do something very simple, yet very profound, that he and his family and those around him would be spared for a time. Jeremiah continues his message. If thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand, and they mock me. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord which I speak unto thee. So it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord hath showed me. And behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes. And these women shall say, Thy friends have set thee on and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire, and they are turned away back. So shall they bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans. And thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon. And thou shalt cause the city to be burned with fire. Zedekiah was put into a position where he had to make choices. And we are, as men, enthralled with the idea of power and influence and decision-making ability. And yet, the reality is that there are responsibilities and grave consequences based on those that are given responsibility and opportunity to make choices. Zedekiah, in a way, would bear responsibility that the rest of the city was burned with fire. What a heavy weight. What a heavy burden to bear. And Zedekiah said unto Jeremiah, Let no man know of these words, and thou shalt not die. But if the princes hear that I have talked with thee, and they come unto thee, and say unto thee, Declare unto us now what thou hast said unto the king, hide it not from us, and we will not put thee to death, and also what the king said unto thee. Then thou shalt say unto them, I presented my supplication before the king, that he would not cause me to return to Jonathan's house to die there. Then came all the princes unto Jeremiah, and asked him. And he told them according to all these words that the king had commanded. So they left off speaking with him, for the matter was not perceived. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken. And he was there when Jerusalem was taken. We see the offer. We see the way of escape being presented in God's mercy. And by this last verse, we see the king's decision. He chose not to listen. Why? The king claimed that he was afraid of the Jews that had been taken captive before. That he would, if he would surrender himself, that the Babylonians would deliver him to his friends, those that were the true best and brightest of the country. And that they would mock him when they found out how he had failed. And he did not want that fate. He did not want to recognize his own failure. He did not want to recognize, certainly, God's righteous judgment. What did he want to do? Perhaps he wanted to say, Those others had to give in. They had to submit, but not me. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to show how strong I am and that I can overcome this. I'm going to beat God. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to take a simple word from the Lord and follow it in faith because I believe what God said is true, but I'm going to believe in myself, and I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try really hard, and I'm going to fight against God. Friends, he failed. He held out as long as he could. And he tried to hold on and to rally his troops and get everybody excited about how they were going to, God is going to be on their side, that he's going to bring deliverance like he did in the time of Hezekiah. Don't give up hope. We can do this. Let's cheer each other on and promote, you know, this strength of Israel. And the Babylonians patiently waited outside the walls of Jerusalem for almost 2 years and waited. And once all the food was out and they realized they had no hope, Zedekiah, who was trying to say, Jeremiah, don't tell people to give in and surrender to the Babylonians. We've got to keep this strength up. We've got to hold on to our own ability. We got to resist God and resist his word. He ends up escaping the city and leaving all of those people and running. He made pretty far run. And he might have thought, maybe I've finally done it. I've gotten away. But they caught up with him. They captured him. They took him and his sons, judged them, killed the sons, gouged out his eyes so the last thing that he saw were his sons dying, and took him into captivity. An awful fate. Awful fate. Just so that he could say, I did it. Last week in the morning, we read about two men. One of them was saying, I did it, and I'm doing it. And the other one was looking for mercy and yielded himself and acknowledged that God is right and everyone else is a liar. Have you heard this message before? There's a reason. Because it's the truth. And because it's the message of God's way of salvation. That we're not worthy of the mercy of God. And he does not expect us to earn his favor through how strong we can overcome the enemy of our souls. But he calls us and asks us to do one simple thing. Surrender to him. Surrender everything to him. My friends, you have a lot of friends around you, a lot of people that love you, and have even this morning been praying for you. That even though you've heard this message time and time again, that you would hear it. And that God would be patient with you. You have better friends than Zedekiah did. You have friends like Naaman the Syrian did, who when he was given something very simple to do, said, why don't you go ahead and do it? Zedekiah had heard this message many times, and he turned it away. Maybe he was looking for something a little bit different this time. Maybe God would change his mind. But God has provided one name under heaven by which men may be saved. the name of Jesus Christ. And he will not change his mind, but he will continue to offer that you would submit your heart and life unto him. And he waits patiently, even at this time. This is something for all of us to take to heart. Because in one way or another, we are all unworthy of the kindness and salvation that the Lord has offered. But it's our glory that he suffered for us. So may we, with our hearts, as we sing songs, as we fellowship with one another, as we reflect on the Word, and we would allow the Holy Spirit to plant the Word deeply in our hearts, thank God for his kindness, and encourage one another to look to Jesus Christ. May God bless his Word.
It was earlier that Israel was carried into captivity into Babylon. They had been given holy unto idolatry. And the Lord was going to purge them and take them into captivity. And a part of them had gone into captivity. Nebuchadnezzar had taken them in. And they were in captivity in Babylon. And there was false prophets amongst them who were not telling them what the Lord was telling them. And Jeremiah was sent to them in captivity. This is before what we have read here. And he told them, you're going to be here a long time. You're going to be here a long time. It's going to be 70 years. Pray for peace here in Babylon, because that will be your peace. But they didn't listen. They listened to the false prophets. And the Lord said, I did not send them. They did not come in my name. And so this king here that we read of, he wanted to hear, what does God have to say? Well, what Jeremiah told the people then is what we all want to hear. And Jeremiah told them, he says, this is the Lord speaking. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. Who doesn't want to hear that? We all want to hear that. He said, then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. In your prayer, as you seek me, I will listen. He says, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. He's giving them a promise. They want to hear, I have good thoughts towards you. I have thoughts of peace towards you. Everyone wants to hear that. Well, this king says to Jeremiah, come here, talk to me. What does the Lord have to say? Well, Jeremiah told him, you're to surrender unto Nebuchadnezzar. He doesn't want to hear that. He didn't want to hear it. And so he didn't obey. And Ezekiel had promised, prophesied also that his eyes would be taken out. And that's exactly what happened. I think it's right in the next chapter, as a brother mentioned. But we also see that this Ethiopian who had come to rescue Jeremiah, we find him when this siege had taken place, that God spared him because of his faith. And that's what the brothers in both the hymns that we found had found in the hymns that we sang. We want to hear what God speaks, don't we? We all want to hear, what does God have to say? And we want to hear, God has thoughts of peace towards me. Oh, praise God, it's good. But he says, but you surrender. Surrender your will unto me. He says, though trouble assail and danger affright, though friends should all fail and foes all unite. This doesn't look good. All my friends have failed me. All my foes have united against me. What secures me? One thing. My faith in one thing. The Lord will provide. But Satan appears. He's obstructing my path. I'm filled with fear. Why? Satan is here. And how do we triumph? By faith. That's what this Ethiopian did. He triumphed by faith. He was spared. God sees everything. And he says, and there's a heart-cheering promise. No one can take this from us. The Lord will provide. There's no strength of our own. This king had relied upon his own strength. He will not give in. The siege had taken place for two plus years. He's not going to give in. He's relied upon his own strength. There's no way I'm going to surrender my will. That's what the Lord is asking. Give me your will. No. I'll give you something. I'll give you part. I'll give you something, but I won't give you everything. The Lord says, surrender it all. So you have to realize there's no strength of our own. There's no virtue that I can claim is my own. Our trust is alone, what, upon the Lord's name. He is my strong tower, and I hide for safety in him. Therein is the power. Where? The Lord will provide. Haste to save thy soul forever. Hear God's holy word today. The king had heard his word. He could have saved himself. He rejected it. Flee from hell. Let that be thy endeavor, to walk on the narrow way. For the world with evil is covered. It will soon be cast to flames. Up, arise, and be delivered ere the day of grace is past. Today's a day of grace. We've heard God's word. Our choice is, as the king's was, surrender or try to live on our own. We will soon be cast to flames, as this city was taken. And he ended up fleeing, thinking he can run away. He can't run away. So dear ones, as the king wanted to hear the word of the Lord, so we also want to hear. But let us surrender. Let us be obedient. And there's deliverance the Lord will provide. Amen.